Okay, I'm out of breath now. I may have to get Johnny up here. Oh, okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to turn to a couple of scriptures this morning for our text that we want to talk about something. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And also Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. In Corinthians, the third chapter in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for brethren, boy, now this is, you need to get this one now. For brethren, ye've not been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We've been freed from sin so we can serve. May the Lord bless His Word. Loving God, thank You for the Word of God. Help me to preach the Word of God because we know it's the Word of God. And I thank You for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk about give me liberty. Anybody know who ever said that?
Patrick Henry.
Huh?
Patrick Henry.
Okay, anybody else knew that? You didn't learn that in school, young'un? Okay. Okay, we're going to educate you today. Today, there are many people who are not free. Many are enslaved in prisons today. We got over 1 million people, I think, in prison in our country. Think about that. You know what? We got 1 million more needs to be in. They're enslaved in prisons. They're enslaved in habits. There's a lot of people enslaved with a habit. They're enslaved in sin. Just won't quit sinning. They can't escape. They're bound. They're helpless to be free. How many people have I heard say, I just can't quit smoking? Or I just can't get off of that alcohol. You can. But people don't think they can so many times. Oh, how many of them would like to be free if they could only be free? I heard of a man recently who was released from prison after 40 years for a crime he did not commit. I heard that announced last week or week before last. He'd been in prison 40 years, and he didn't commit the crime he was in there for. Think about that, Johnny. 40 years, and he hadn't commit that crime. But he was in prison. Our Sunday school lesson this morning told about that lady. I remember when the president released her. That was a happy woman. There are quite a few who experience loss of freedom like this. But in prisons, there's no way to escape. And for years, many have lost many years of freedom. It was Patrick Henry who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." It was that statement that led to the Revolutionary War that began with England to secure our freedom from that country. Henry was a lawyer. He had a backbone. And he was sick and tired of the way England was treating the colonists. And so he, with Benjamin Franklin and some other guys, old Henry stood up and said, "Give me liberty or give me death. I want to be free." And you know what? There's nothing like being in a free country like we are. Y'all know that? We are the most blessed people that's ever lived in the world. And I happen to live in the age when I was growing up, the best time the country ever had, back in the 40s and the 50s. That was the best time this country's ever had. Oh, it was hard, hard times. But the people of that 20 years had a little bit of common sense back then. America has always been a freedom-loving people, folks. People came over here to be free, to maintain our freedom. We've lost many lives. We got a lot of our soldiers, their bodies are laying in foreign countries in order to keep us free. And we have a lot of them been over here buried, keep us free as a country of people. Our stars and stripes have flown proudly over the head of our soldiers. And they've charged with a flag a-waving our enemies in battle many, many times. But today I want to talk about a freedom that's available only in Jesus Christ. And once you are free indeed. Now, we can lose our freedom as a country. We've almost lost it, it seems like. And if the right person gets to be president, we are going to be lost it. I said the right person. I don't mean it that he would be right. That's not what I meant. But if you're free in Jesus Christ, you are free. Amen. And you're free forever. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm glad I can preach that. The enemy of our soul, though, is our own sin. Did you know that? The enemy of man's soul is his own sin. The man that's not been freed. The person that's not been freed. It is that damning sin that poisons every soul of every person. Sin condemns us all. There's no exceptions. It's inherited by every one of us, and there's not a single one of us can get rid of it. And there's not a one of us that wants to get rid of it. That's why people won't go to church. They don't want to hear about the Word of God. It irritates them. It convicts them. They don't want to be changed. Sin has enslaved them. Yet they don't realize the danger of their enslavement. The path of sin we walk, as we gladly walk as the enemy of our soul, Satan tries to keep us in spiritual darkness before we're saved. He does all he can to keep us away from this book, the gospel. And masses of people around us today don't even realize it. Satan is getting the victory in their lives, keeping them away from this. Keeping them away from this experience we have today in church. And many are rejoicing about COVID because we don't have to go to church. We justify our sin by the way we live. Man says, I've never bothered God. Man says, I believe in God. Man says, I'm a good person. Man says, I'm as good as the hypocrites down at the church. That's how he justifies himself. But when we read the book of Galatians, we discover the freedom that's possible in Jesus Christ of being a free person. And I don't know of any words to describe the excitement and the joy of really, really, truly being free from sin's condemnation. To be free and a citizen of heaven, knowing you're going there one day. Money won't buy that. There's only one way to be free, and that is in Jesus Christ. Buddha won't make you free, nor any other religion won't make you free. So let me talk about some things relating to our freedom today. First of all, you cannot be saved by any law. There's no kind of law that'll save you. We live in a country today of laws. Our Congress is always making laws. And we got people today, they're making laws, but they don't abide by them. But they want you to abide by them. Amen? Look at them. They're catching. They take their family and friends out to big dinners. But you better not go. Because we'll charge you. We'll arrest you. You better not go to the get your hair fixed, ladies. That shop's supposed to be closed. But somebody caught someone on the security camera, didn't it? Hey, the most powerful woman in the country. They called her, didn't they? Going sneaking into her. Boy, she needs more than a hairdo, don't she? Yeah, they can make laws for themselves that they don't obey. No, not even the Old Testament 10 commandments will set you free. Not even the 10 commandments will set you free. We're supposed to live by the 10 commandments. I mean, they're good moral laws to live by. But they won't save you. God gave them to Israel to show they were a sinful people. None of the Mosaic law, with all of its rituals and ceremonies and holy days, will give freedom. Set you free. They just can't do that. But people, we think that if we live by some kind of rules and regulation, it's in our nature. We think we'll be all right, but we won't. We won't. There's no religion to set you free. There are many who embrace some religion as their form of worship, but it is all in vain to give freedom from the guilt of sin. It seems man's natural inclination is to do something in order to be right with God. Well, if I go to church every Sunday, God will accept me. No, he won't. Well, if I just be baptized, God will accept me. No, he won't. But that's man's inclination or his thinking. I can do something and God will accept me. No. God says, I'm not going to accept you that way. Man seeks to save himself. Like Cain, when he brought a sacrifice without blood. You remember that experience in the Word of God? Cain brought his great fruit. I wish we could get some good fruit today and vegetables. You can't find them anymore. We're getting set up for the tribulation time. Hint, hint. And if you have a good garden, the cows will eat it, won't it, Junior? Yeah, Cain thought he could bring some good vegetables. God would accept his sacrifice. No, God says that's not, I don't accept that kind of sacrifice. It hurt my feelings when I began to learn that as a young person, because my daddy was a farmer and I couldn't understand why God wouldn't accept Cain's fruits or vegetables. But then when I got to understand the scriptures, I understood why. There was no blood in it. You see, God requires a blood sacrifice. But only the blood of Jesus Christ, that sacrifice would God accept. He didn't accept the animal sacrifices. You read the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, God says he didn't want those animals killed. He only allowed them to be killed to show they need a blood sacrifice, pointing to Christ. To approach God, we must come God's way. There's only one way to come to God, through the blood. And it's the blood of the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world. 1 Peter 2:24 states, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Some churches teach that means that you can pray and be healed. They're talking about miraculous, like some of these faith healers today preach. But that's not what he's talking about at all there. He's talking about your soul being healed. Your soul is healed by Jesus Christ. Our body has not been healed yet. It's not been redeemed yet. Your soul's been redeemed, but your body is not. Your body will be redeemed at the rapture. That's when you get a new body that won't ever have any more afflictions. The writer of Hebrews said in 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sit down at the right hand of God. Think about that. Jesus, he said, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he saw on the other side of the cross you and I that would believe in him. Amen. Amen. Salvation by faith. When the Jews were under the Mosaic law for 1,400 years, it did not even save one of them. Many of the Jews were saved, but they were not saved by the law. They were saved like Abraham. How was Abraham saved? By faith. Everybody that's ever been saved has been saved the same way. By faith. It's only by faith. It's impossible to please God except by faith, the writer of Hebrews said. You have to believe God because of who God is. Faith is the only way God has ever saved anyone. God, knowing we are sinners, planned from eternity that salvation for all would be for those who would believe in Him through Jesus Christ alone. The Old Testament people looked for the coming Messiah. They believed, were saved. Today, we believe the Messiah came and died. We're saved. All by faith. Isn't that marvelous? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith." There's faith again. Saved by faith. "For by grace you're saved." Unmerited favor. None of us deserve to be saved, but God will save you if you'll believe. That's faith. Faith is believing. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Even your faith to believe is a gift from God. What I'm trying to tell you today is you don't have anything to give to God. He give you even the faith to believe. But you got to get under the sound of the gospel or the Holy Spirit won't work to give you that faith. That's why if you stay away from the gospel, you don't listen to it. You can't ever be saved. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, I'm going to read it in the Living Bible because it makes it more interesting, as the German said that time. I've got it in the King James, but I want to read it in the Living Bible, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the result is very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties." Boy, that's the thing today, wild parties. "And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that's what God's Word says. It's not what I said. And God is the one that has the keys to the door of heaven, folks. "To God, sin is sin, and the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse any person who will believe in Him. There's no such thing that one has sinned so long or so grievous that God will not forgive and save that person." Think about that. A person can sin. Well, I've led several people to the Lord at 90 years of age. They lived all their life without being saved. You can live for years. You can commit the most horrendous sins you can imagine, and God is eager to save you, folks. And there's lots of guys and even women in prisons that have committed awful crimes, and they're being saved. God wants to save a person. And when they're saved, they're just as saved as anybody else. Amen? Isn't God good? Boy, God just loves people. I don't understand why He could love some of us. But He does. He does. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. I mentioned that a while ago. Without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whoever shall be saved. Isn't that great, folks? What a God will save anybody, anywhere, anytime they come by faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God honors faith when we repent of our sin. That's the thing. You got to repent. What does that mean? You've been going the wrong way. You've been going away from God. You need to turn around and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I want you to forgive me. And I'm now trusting you. God saves. God saves right then. Forever. Now, if we sin after we've been saved, God deals with us as children. We say we spank them. God chastens or disciplines in his own way. We are free in Christ. I want you to hear that again. Listen carefully. We are free in Christ. So we can serve God. Get that. Don't miss that. We've been made free so we can serve God. We've been serving the devil all of our life. Whether you like that term or not, or that statement or not, it's still true. We serve the devil all of our life till you get saved. Now you're free to start serving God. We're not free to live as we please. Do I need to say that again? We're not saved to live as we please, to do as we want to. Now you're to be a servant of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, maybe you ought to turn there in your Bible, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. You've been bought. You've been purchased off the slave market of sin. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who owns your body now? That's why we're not supposed to mark it up. Consume alcoholic beverages, drugs. That's improper drugs. Our body is not our body. Belongs to the Lord. It's the temple of the Lord. So we're free in Jesus, but we don't have to bring a sacrifice or observe laws or holy days. The Mosaic law was given to the Jewish nation to show them their sin and their need for salvation. They didn't have the New Testament like we have today in the Bible. Boy, I'd have hated to live back then in days, wouldn't you? To have to keep bringing an animal, have it slaughtered. Folks, that must have been some tough times. They did that for 1,400 years. I'd have hated to have it done in a week, amen? You think about what them people had to put up with. And they had to bring the best one in the herd. God didn't take no sick stuff, crippled stuff. He had that. God demanded the best. Do you know God still requires your best and my best? He hadn't changed on that. He still requires the best. Hey, wait. He give his best. He give his best. His own son who never sinned. What an awesome God, folks. What an awesome God. No wonder Moses' face shined, Johnny. Gracious, what a God. What a God. The law was to point the Jews to Jesus, of which the Old Testament told them he was going to be their suffering Messiah. But you know what? The Jews didn't believe that then, and they don't believe it today. In Isaiah 53, let's turn in our Bible this morning. Let me read a passage with you from the book of Isaiah, because this is relevant. This is so important. The book of Isaiah chapter 53. This is what the Jewish people are missing, have been missing, still missing. I'm going to just read several verses out of it. In 53 verses 3 through 8. Talking about the coming Messiah of the Jews now. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we the nation of Israel, is what he's talking about there, the we, hid as it were our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken and smitten of God. God smote his own son, folks. And the Jews was told that. And affliction, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Talking to the Jews back in Isaiah. 700 years before Christ came. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. You go to the New Testament and you see Jesus standing before those religious leaders and Pilate and Herod. He done it just like it says right there. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as asleep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He didn't even put up a defense. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? He was cut off, Isaiah said. That means he died at 33 years of age. Cut off in his youth. The psalmist also said the same thing to the Jewish nation in Psalms 22, beginning at 14. I'll read you several verses there. He said, I'm poured out like water. Christ hanging on the cross, naked, his bones dislocated, poured out. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. Listen out to the Lord with suffering, folks. He's telling the Jews this 1,000 years before he's crucified. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. He's so weak, helpless. My tongue cleave it to my jaws. Thou'st brought me into the dust of death. Dogs have compassed. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. All around him was wicked men. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. They part my garments, among them cast lots upon my vesture. David wrote that 1,000 years before it actually happened. And yet when he came, we're not going to have this man rule over us. Now look how they have paid so dearly. Just in my lifetime, they've came back to their land because they've been scattered all over the world. In AD 70, they were scattered all over the world. But God said back in Jeremiah and other books of the Bible, he's going to bring them back in the last days. He's brought them back, folks. Folks, you're seeing something about to happen. The rapture's about to happen. We're getting close to home. This is the cost of liberty, what I just read y'all from the Word of God. Christ's crucifixion, death, to set us free. The Son of God dying the most horrible death ever experienced. Oh yes, others have been crucified, but no other person has ever had their soul made an offering for sin. His soul, his being, was made an offering for sin, my sin. And God could find no other way. In all the wisdom of God, he cannot find any other way to remove our sin and to make us free. That was the only way. Because of who he is. He's a holy God who cannot look on sin. And the only way for sin to be dealt with that would satisfy a holy God was for his Son to come into the world as a person, as a man. It was a man that brought sin. It would have to be a man to get rid of sin. And there wasn't a man that had not sinned. So one came that, and I believe this from my depths of my being. We got preachers don't believe this, but this one does. He could not sin when he came. Some say he possibly could have sinned. No, he couldn't. He's the Son of God. He was God. He couldn't sin. That's why he came. God don't fail. Amen? God don't fail. When he sets out to do something, he does it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our sin debt's been paid so we can be free. Satan now has no claim on us, folks. Amen? What about a good hearty amen? Satan don't have no claim on us now. He's defeated. And you don't have to sin now. Let me say that again. You listening? We don't have to sin. But if you sin, you choose to. But that's why John said in 1 John, if we confess our sin, as Christians, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we don't confess it, he'll deal with us. He'll get our attention. He can make you miserable, folks. We're not free to disobey Christ. We're free to serve Christ. What he wants you to do in life may not be like your neighbor. But he's got a job for every one of us on how he wants us to serve him. We are to use our freedom to love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ and not to follow the paths of sin. We follow the paths of sin, we'll keep the unsaved from being saved. Wouldn't that be awful to find out when we got to heaven we caused somebody not to be saved? You know, church people can do that. Church people do that. It's faith alone that gives us this freedom. Again, we're not under any law or rituals, but we are justified by faith, so we are free to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:1, Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Don't embondage yourself again. Don't enslave yourself again. Stay free by obeying the Lord. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Remember, it is Jesus who has set us free from sin. You don't need religion. You only need Jesus. Now we need to learn how to serve Him by faith, by getting into this book and believing what it says. We live under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses, nor under the law of man per se. We do those things that please the Lord. We pray. Amen? We study. We be faithful to a Bible church. We live a holy life. Remember, as a Christian, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, took up residence. He won't leave, but you can grieve Him. He's there to accomplish many things in our lives. He has a large ministry. "What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher." The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible as we study. It don't mean you'll learn it all at one trip. It takes time, study, prayer. I read one time where Oral Roberts, when he first started preaching, said, "God called him to preach." This is what he said. He said he didn't think he had to study. So the first time he got up to preach, he got up to preach and he didn't have anything to say. Why? He hadn't studied. Let me tell you something, folks. If I didn't study, I wouldn't have anything to say. You have to study. That's why we have the Bible. You have to pray. It takes a lot of time in that old book. You can't ever master it. I done forgot more than I can even remember that I used to know. I mean, it's such a vast, that this is a whole library here, folks. There's 66 books in here. It takes a lot of study. The Holy Spirit helps you understand. Every week, after today, I'll go home. And I get to think about next Sunday. What am I going to preach on next Sunday? You know what I find that works? I found this for many, many, many years. You ask the Lord what you preach on next Sunday. And when it starts just unfolding and you sit there just amazed at the Lord's given so many thoughts, you can't hardly write them down fast enough. When you didn't have a thought to start with. You have to study. You have to pray. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to comfort us, to be with us. And He has many other ministries that He carries on in our life as believers in Jesus Christ. He has sealed us when we were saved. The moment you got saved, He sealed you. And that's why you can't get lost if you were saved. That's the qualifying remark, though. If you were saved, you can't get lost. But you can get out of the will of God, and then you'll wind up miserable. And if you don't repent, He'll put you in the graveyard. That's what the Bible teaches. I believe it. He seals us. He regenerates us. That's what, He's the one that gets us saved, borns us again, the Holy Spirit. He baptizes us into Christ. He takes us when we believe, and He puts us in Christ. That is His church, the body. The body of Christ is His church. That's the only crowd going to Him. He does that. And when you're baptized in water, that's just a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you free today? You feel free today? Free to serve the Lord? Confess sin? Turn from sin? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord fully? Fully? Paul wrote, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ." Philippians 4:7. Thank God for the freedom we have. Thank God for the freedom to stand here and preach today. Thank God we can get together in our country today. I was brought to church in my mama's arms or my daddy's one. I'm still coming to church. Maybe many of you are the same way. Praise God. We have the freedom to worship God. Praise God is a God that even people that's in countries where you're not free to worship God, they've been saved and they have freedom in Christ. Amen? Amen. Loving God, thank You for this day, this opportunity, this privilege, this blessing. Blessed are the hearts of Your people here today, Lord. Encourage, challenge, build up their faith, Lord. Help us to be faithful servants of the Lord, serving the Lord. Challenge our hearts to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord for the glory of the Lord and the good of our fellow man, that it might cause someone to notice the freedom we have. And they desire to be free of their sin, I pray, in Christ's name. Today, maybe you want to come to the altar. Thank God for the freedom you have. Maybe you want to just come and praise the Lord. Come pray for somebody. Come pray for somebody in the salvation box. Come pray for those in the hospital. Come pray.